for money.
We are VIC Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to commercial-free and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Today we are blessed to hear great news from Joy Garner from the Control Group, and we are so welcome to have you again, my love.
Hi, I'm so glad to be back.
Yes,
Group, of course, let me do the recap. The controlgroup.org is where you go if you want to find out more. What we're doing is surveying the health, collecting the health data for a group of controls. We're doing a random study across the country, and also we're getting them from overseas. And what we want to know is what your health is like if you're unvaccinated. We're going to compare the samples from the controls. There are about 3 million in the United States, according to the CDC. And we're going to compare those health data statistics against the national averages of a nation that is not over 99% vaccinated. And we're heading into court. We are extending the survey to January 31st for strategic reasons. Of course, we want to get the survey sample size as big as possible. But basically, we've got some delays on when we want to be filing because we're waiting for some really wonderful things that are coming our way in terms of judicial appointments. We're also testing the water by watching what the new appointments that are already in place on the Ninth Circuit and a lot of the lower courts and other circuits to see how they're washing out. Like, are they deep state operatives that have pretended to be conservative and constitutional all this time just so they could get a higher position and then completely collapse the country? I mean, we're seeing that all over the place. So we're waiting to see kind of the people that are in play already, which ones are real. And also there are a couple more appointments we want to see happen. Now, the really, really good news is, it is true. When you take bold action, angels come to your aid. And so we've been conversing with the lead counsel for Physicians for Informed Consent here in California. And he is absolutely committed to helping get this forward. Now, he's also working on getting other lawyers that I've been talking to involved here, and all of that is going very, very well. Some of these guys are completely self-funded. They don't need legal fees. They're just very passionate about this, and they want to win. And, you know, of course, they know this is a legacy case. And they're saying, you know, this is a strategy that can actually get us the court orders we need, that can get us the remedy that we need, which we've not been getting yet from all the other efforts that have been made out there. No matter how well-meaning, they've just been falling short. They've not been the correct approach. The only approach that's truly going to work here is having the data, a large amount of data, the health data of entirely unvaccinated people. Now, I was discussing with Greg. He's Greg Glaser. He's the lead counsel for Physicians for Informed Consent, and I actually did an interview with him. I put it up on our little floundering YouTube channel. I'll see if I can pump the subscribers up on that. But he explained that the difference between an expert opinion and what is termed a percipient witness or direct fact witness. And of course, when someone is just an expert witness, they're just going to give an opinion. They didn't gather the data. They have no direct connection to that data, but they're going to explain to the jury what the jury should think about it. And the difference between that and a direct fact witness, such as myself, having executed this myself, and also he talked about the value and confirms the value of just having all of these surveys piled up next to me, that are filled out by different people in their handwriting, printed off by different printers, sent to us in different envelopes from all over the country, proving that it's randomized. You know, they're not going to be able to accuse me of sitting down and filling all of this out myself. And so I get to be a direct fact witness as to how I conducted this, why I did it, and what happened. You know, I went to the mailbox and kept going back and collecting these, and this is what they said in them, you know, and a professional witness, that was the other thing Greg was pointing out, is that the first thing a good lawyer does when they have a expert opinion on the stand is find out who's paying them to be there. And that pretty much clears it up in the jury's head. You know, so they can have an expert say, well, in my expert opinion, she's a crazy witch and all of this is a lie. And, you know, it's obvious to the jury that they've been paid to do that. So you don't worry about it. You just kind of rush through it and go, okay, so that's your opinion. Next, you know, and it's not really a threat. However, people approaching this battle on a legal level have it in their minds that the expert opinions are more valuable somehow than a direct fact witness. You know, and it's exactly the opposite. But they have sort of brainwashed even most of the legal community, let alone, you know, the country, just the average person that doesn't know one way or the other what goes on. Mm-hmm. Everyone's sort of, that's covering part of your screen.
I see that.
Everyone's sort of brainwashed to believe that, you know, if you're not a doctor, if you're not a scientist, you just have zero value. What you have to say means nothing. And they're wrong. Yep. You know, someone that can point and say, I saw this myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I have documentary evidence to corroborate and support what it is I've seen and what I've been seeing, and I did this, and here's why I did it. And you know, that's another fun thing I'm looking forward to, is the why did you do it? In other words, we're going to stipulate going in that this is obviously, we already had a bias or we wouldn't have done the study. Mm. Okay? So there's no reason for them to sit around talking about how biased we are. We've already, Your Honor, we've already stipulated that we did this because we were biased. And But the bigger, more exciting thing about that is since you raised the issue of our bias, why don't we explain what made us so biased? Then all of a sudden, a bunch of other evidence gets in that, you know, you don't have to put in for purposes of proving the truth of it individually, but just to prove what it is that made you so damn biased. And so that's where a lot of fun could be had in terms of what types of things end up in front of the jury that would otherwise have been able to be kept out because we weren't able to authenticate it, or we couldn't get the actual author of a study to testify, or we couldn't qualify it somehow. There's just a lot of other ways that you get things in that once a jury sees it, it has an effect. Mm. It does. There's no way around it. They can object all they want, and we get over their objections by saying, we're not putting that in to prove the truth of it. We're putting it in to explain why this woman had a bias that caused her to do this study. So, and there are a lot of other people that'll be coming in too, but this is my side of it, what I'm going to want to be doing. And I'm so excited when I talk to lawyers that get a grasp of what kind of approach we're taking with the control group, that confirm the strategy and go, wow, you know, nobody's ever actually even tried this.
Never.
And it's kind of stunning to me. There are studies out there where the comparisons are made between unvaccinated and vaccinated. And it always goes, there's always some weakness to it. Number one is usually that it's not randomized. In other words, like the Amish study, you had a confounder, so many confounders actually involved there, because the Amish community is so tight-knit. They eat organic. They grow their own food. They have a different water supply. They, you know, you have all these other things that you could, you, the defense can say, well, that's why they're so healthy. It's not just because they don't get vaccinated. It's because all these other things. But that's what's nice about doing it from every major city and every religion and every, you know, we're not asking anyone to we're not narrowing our study group down to some Mennonites. You know, it's all the kids running around out there that are unvaccinated. They're getting a lot of the same assaults that every other kid in America gets. Right. Getting all these same exposures, and yet they're almost impervious to them in terms of it harming their health. They've got the cell towers, the sugar, the too much TV, all the same crap, and GMOs, and, you know, we're all being exposed to this stuff. And yet, if you just don't let them inject you, all of a sudden you are basically cancer-free, arthritis-free, autism-free, brain damage-free, etc.
Cancer-free. But back to the Amish, we have a lot of members in the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area who are Amish, and the Dan Olmsted study that was done, I guess, about 20 years ago, that was definitely valid. But today, unfortunately, the tentacles, the pharmaceutical tentacles, have infiltrated. Not only are they now vaccinating, but they're also now growing GMO foods. I just had a meeting with someone in what state was that? I forgot. They're literally, Sarah, in Washington. Same thing, an Amish lady in Washington, she showed us her whole center and everything where they grow their own food and all that. And I said, well, are you using bug sprays? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, what happened to your roots? So the enemy has definitely infiltrated the Amish community. So we couldn't go in and do a study like Dan Olmsted did years ago, unfortunately.
Well, in New York, I understand, are being forced to comply because with the mandates there too. So, yeah, I mean, it's a race. Right now, pharma is running a race to eliminate the control group before we can collect their health data.
I know.
In a meaningful way that's truly randomized. And but we're ahead of them. Huh? We're ahead of them. And we're going to be able to take this back. You know, we have now officially crossed the line over into the territory of being the world's leading experts on health data for entirely unvaccinated people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So on that, I can give an opinion because I, you know, I challenge them to show me a more larger collection of data.
Mm-mm.
That any of them, the enemy, has ever studied. As a matter of fact, they've never collected a shred of data on the health of even one entirely unvaccinated person. They don't want that data.
Mm-mm.
And let alone publish it.
Exactly. They're not going to stop. They don't want to stop their sacred cow, their money-making business. I mean, this is what gets people in the doctor's offices for the antibiotics, for the ear tubes, you know, starting in infancy. It's insane. So they would never shoot themselves in the foot like that.
Yeah. So I found out some interesting things from talking to Greg, over Physicians for Informed Consent, that I wasn't aware of before. He was telling me about a database, a government health database, that does have health data on potentially hundreds of thousands of unvaccinated people. That there was, in fact, some sort of research done where they collected all of this data. And they even wrote up, somebody within that organization actually wrote up white paper on how to conduct the comparison study with the national disease averages, basically what we're doing.
Yep.
And that was the end of it. And he told me that he strongly suspects they did do the study, but just wouldn't publish it.
Yeah. That's very possible.
So,
that's
there. I'm going to try and get the original source information or documents from him where he's referencing that from, because that could be hugely valuable to bring into court to just show, look, we probably could have had a statistician spend an hour with these numbers and just put the comparisons on a graph next to the national disease rates and for really cheap. And then we would have known what the risk factors are numerically for getting vaccinated. And yet they didn't. You know, just another thing to put in front of a jury to say, these are the types of things that make us so biased. Since you raised the point.
I know that we had, we might even have it on our website. Linda may have put it on our website. Dale Bigtree and Dr. Buttar had some type of a program of unvaccinated. I think I asked you about that, and you said.
I went to that Dr. Buttar's website that has the study in it, and he had some pretty big numbers. Now, he was not focusing just on unvaccinated, so it was like all of your vaccine information, whether it's zero or one or two or the full schedule, and then a really detailed listing on the issue of what kind of health problems you're having or you're having. And the sampling of the entirely unvaccinated within that study of his was really small compared to what we've collected by just focusing on that. And then, of course, you're getting mired into what I believe to be a bear trap. The minutia and the details of which shots, how many shots, and trying to correlate
that. How thick was that medium that made that batch for that shot? There's so many variables.
and so I'm kind of looking at that going, you know, this could be a value. And then when you do corroborate, when you do look at the totals on the entirely unvaccinated, the health outcomes do approximate and corroborate what we're coming up with for entirely unvaccinated. So on that level, it's extremely useful to what we're doing. If Buttar would get back to me, I know he's heard, he's gotten my messages, and I'm quite certain Dell has, and they don't seem interested at all in helping to pump up the response rate on what we're doing over here by putting the word out. I mean, 20 seconds with a microphone at a rally, or, you know, 10 second mention on one of their shows or speeches or whatever for the control group, and they're not willing. And I can only, you know, I know that I saw a look of horror on the handler for Dell Bigtree's face. I guess she's the producer or whatever. When I said that the reason we were doing this is because we intend to go into federal court and get a nationwide injunction against all vaccine mandates. I guess, you know, and I gotta say, my stomach turned the other day. I saw a Dell Bigtree video where he was cracking up and laughing at how, you know, how are you people gonna feel when they mandate the vaccines for all the adults too? Ha 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 ha. He thought that was funny. And I know he was kind of pointing it at pro-vaxxers. Like, that'll show you. And, you know, kind of who cares what happens to the rest of us? Just so long as we get to see pro-vaxxers forcibly injected. Oh, yeah. Are you willing to surrender your arm so that you can have the revenge of seeing? And would you laugh about it? I don't want to see those ignorant A's holes injured any more than I want to be injured or watch anyone else be injured, even if they're vehemently attacking anti-vaxxers. I want the injuries to stop. I don't think any of this is funny. And for some reason, Dell Bigtree just thinks it's a crack up, that the laws keep getting worse. And I don't actually find any humor in the laws getting worse. I don't know what if they've actually got a genuine strategy to stop this madness beyond just trying to do it by raising awareness. I don't know what that strategy would be. I can't see it. I can't find it. I don't hear it. I hope there is one, but I'm not seeing it or hearing it. And it's frustrating for me, particularly in a circumstance where I'm watching one of his videos and Dell starts laughing about the ideas of everyone being force injected, that'll get them, those pro-vaxxers, that'll show them I just, I'm not, so I'm frustrated with that. I'm frustrated with a lot of things that I'm seeing, but that's okay. You know, just kind of good. They're out there raising awareness. Keep doing that, whatever. I'll find my way. We're getting such a great response to this.
Right. And this reminds me of 20 years ago with Barbara Lowe Fisher in VIC. The same way you're feeling about Del Bigtree possibly and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the exact same thing with Barbara Lowe Fisher. I mean, she didn't even come to our first rally that we did after the Homeland Security Bill provision. She didn't even come to that one. And then the second one, when they put the provision in the BioShield bill, she saw how many parents were behind us, so she decided to participate. But I think I told you before, she said that we have to make friends with these politicians, and our director of media relations is like, no, 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 you have to have leverage over their head, make enemies with them. So the same way you're feeling about them, even though they have this new vax movie come out that I would like to go see just to see, you know, I might even be on there because they interviewed me, my daughter's picture's on the front of the bus. So, you know, we have to, but I'm with you as far as keeping our arms, you know, keeping it at bay, you know, not really being quite sure who is controlled opposition and who's not. I mean, I don't think you are, and I know you know that I'm not, you know, so
you're
as bad as real.
I mean, I'm doing the control group to get to a specific remedy. I have a strategy that I put together with some other people that I'm implementing because it is a battle plan to get to a remedy. And when I say remedy, I'm not just talking about maybe a regional preliminary injunction or, you know, something to stop the mandates for one or two people or for a county or for even one state. I'm talking about a nationwide injunction. And here's where it gets, okay, it sounds crazy, but it's just the truth. Back in 2013, that was the last year that the CDC or the FDA would publish any complete totals for childhood illness, chronic illness in the United States. And by chronic, you know what I'm talking about. Brain damage, epilepsy, diabetes, arthritis, life-threatening allergies, etc. The list is so long, it's crazy. And so that at that time, it was 43%. Now, Del Bigtree says 54%, but that is if you include obesity. It was actually 43% according to their numbers, which I believe those numbers were probably accurate or close to perfect. So now, just 5 years later, like I said, 2013 was the last year that they published the totals in one place. So now, 5 years later, they still haven't published anything since then in terms of totals. You have to go to each individual disease and track it down and then put your own spreadsheet together. And that's finally coming together. In my spare time, I've been plugging the numbers in as best I can, and from what I'm looking at right now, it looks like that we're now at 70% childhood chronic illness in the United States, that 70% of American children that are not going to have normal lives. When you start out at 6 years old with advanced rheumatoid arthritis or diabetes or any number of these things that are now epidemic in our children, when cancer is now the leading cause of death by disease in American children, vaccinated children specifically, and you see a trajectory where in just 5 years you go from 43% of them to 70%, and that was for 2018. I don't know what it's going to end up being for 2019. We'll find out after the fact. When you're looking at a trajectory like that, you're looking at the collapse of a nation. Complete collapse. There is no way our nation can survive this if we don't immediately stop it and start reversing this damage, which, by the way, will never be reversed by pharma. They have no answers for autism and all these different types of nervous system damage and brain damage and seizure disorders and allergies and gut disorders, which we know is oftentimes the cause of so many other things going wrong with the immune system and the nervous system, and the brain. Pharma has no answers. They don't even have an answer for cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't cure it. Their most powerful chemotherapy and radiation does not kill the cancer stem cells.
More poison. However, toxicities.
However, something as simple as ginger can actually kill the cancer stem cells and has been proven to be 10,000 times more effective at killing cancer, probably because it targets the stem cells, than our most powerful chemotherapy drugs.
Right.
And it has no side effects. It can't hurt you. Of course, it's also not profitable. So pharma is going to, you know, big tech, their partners in big tech are going to scour the internet and strip off all of this valuable information. And ginger's not the only thing out there. There are so many other things. Cannabis, hemp, there are all these other things that are just proven to do miraculous healing. And when I say healing, I'm not talking about just treating symptoms, but actually reversing the damage. And so all of the things that actually reverse the damage, return kids to normal or close to normal brain function, return their health, fix their pancreas, all of these nice things that can happen, none of that happens with Big Pharma. As a matter of fact, if your child is diagnosed with diabetes and you take them in to get them some insulin, the first few shots of insulin they get are what's going to finish off their pancreas. That's what's going to shut their pancreas down so that there's nothing there left to heal. Now they're a lifetime customer. However, if upon the first diagnosis of diabetes, you immediately cut out all starches and sugars on a therapeutic basis initially and went and looked into some of these other healing modalities to try and recover and repair that pancreas, it can be brought back. It's been proven over and over. It can be brought back to a healthy function to where that person does not ever need to look forward to being on insulin. However, if you take your diabetic child to the doctor, they're going to tell you, oh, no, there's nothing you can do. It's over. You cannot fix this. They're going to die if you don't immediately start injecting them with this. But guess what? The good news is, when you start injecting them with this, they can eat all the sugar they want.
Unbelievable.
And the sugar will hurt them as long as they get it. They balance it with this, you know, this insulin shot. And so it's, there's nothing modern medicine has to sell me that I'm interested in other than setting a bone or, you know, scraping me up off the side of the road if I become street pizza. They're really, really excellent at putting people back together. But they have no answers for chronic illness, which is the number one problem with Americans and our children today.
That's right. I just did a presentation last night, and I'm including my husband's presentation now that he's not here anymore. They snip the wire to the blinking oil light, whereas we help people put oil in their engine. Even the actual drugs, the names of the drugs tell you that they're working against the body's self-healing doctor. Antibiotics. Antihistamines, decongestants, protease inhibitors, beta blockers. They're actually telling us they're going up against that self-healing doctor. So I've added about 6 or 7 or maybe 10 new slides of my husband's presentation. It was powerful last night after I opened their eyes to the truth about vaccinations. Then I go into the medical indoctrination. People don't know the drug companies fund the medical schools and write their textbooks.
Yeah.
They don't even know that nutrition has anything to do with health. Meanwhile, the Bible says the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. They have no idea that nutrition and health have anything to do with each other.
No, even a carnivore, a dog or a cat, you see them out chewing on, and they know which herb to chew on based on what's wrong with them. And we are so far removed from having any idea what's going to heal us instinctively that we actually have to use our brains and learn. And the internet is getting so squeezed down. The real truthful things are being so censored and so squeezed down that it is getting harder to find all of this great cutting edge evidence that proves that the things that heal us the best are usually very, very cheap or even free and are growing in fields, you know? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even take much of it, you know. And when America completely has that spell broken, and I think it's coming soon, I really do. However horrific our current circumstance looks, I honestly believe this is like a boil about to pop. You know, this is not going to continue. We're reaching a crescendo. And I honestly believe that once that spell is broken, the scales come up and Americans are, and people all over the world are looking around going, wait a minute, pharma's the cause of the problems I've already got. And the only thing they're offering me is a temporary treatment that actually increases the problem and adds a bunch more problems on, then maybe we're not going to have this terrified public begging for more government control of healthcare. Because most of that money goes to pharma.
That's right.
You know, that you pay for the insurance and that the government collects in taxes. Most of it ends up in pharma pockets, not even in our doctors' pockets, with the exception of those doctors that make their practice pretty much 100% about pushing drugs. They get lots of kickbacks. They have a million different ways they can launder that money and get it back to the doctor in exchange for him writing all these prescriptions, lying to their patients, making their patients sick because, hey, he's got, you know, a mortgage payment on that big mansion and his trophy wife or her lifestyle, if she's a doctor, whatever. And then maybe they've got kids and they want to make sure they get through college. And so they've got those expenses coming up and they lie to themselves. The kindest ones lie to themselves and say, you know, the vaccines are actually saving so many lives that even though I know it's injuring some of my own patients, I'm going to continue it because if I don't, there's going to be a catastrophic die-off from measles, you know. So those are the kind ones. There's actually a branch of the medical profession I've come to learn that is caught up in the idea of depopulation being necessary to save the planet. And so that is actually, they might only very rarely express those sentiments with any level of honesty, but that is what's behind what's driving them. Like, there's not enough room on this planet. We're killing the planet. So I'm actually doing a good service here if a lot of these people die, you know, or just get sick and then die a few years later. It's okay. We got to save the planet. You know, there are some very sick people out there holding those needles.
Right. So that's right. And that's why our cards, I mean, I still, you know, like you were saying about, you know, you're getting the surveys from all over, too. That's the same with us, too. My parents send out our cards, you know, packages of 100 with the ingredients on the back and then our website giving them the truth if they choose to look into it. We get calls from all kind of people all over the nation, even the world, you know, complaining about finding them in what to expect when expecting books. They're finding them in, you know, Pampered packages. I mean, we get calls all the time. And I think a guy from Target even called me and said, we're going to, you know, pursue you legally. And I'm like, sir, I have no idea who put our card in your store. We have a list.
Somebody for producing a little card.
Exactly.
That other people choose. That's insane.
But exactly. Not for free.
They're insane. They're absolutely criminally insane. These people that push this poison. Every last one of them. I really have reached a point of no return in terms of my own conviction that the vast majority of doctors doing the injecting absolutely know what they're doing. They know that they are maiming and murdering other human beings in exchange for money. They know. They are the ones that their boots on the ground, first hand knowledge of that damage. They're the ones that get the calls from the emergency room. They're the ones that deal with the crying, grieving parents. They personally see these children and the consequences of giving them these shots, and they keep doing it anyway because it pays so well. And you know what? We need to stop listening to this baloney where these monsters continue to be defended. Well, he didn't know any better. He was just brainwashed in medical school. Okay, maybe he was. But after the first few patients go down, and you know after 1 year, they've seen at least a few. definitively go down because of their shots. Absolutely. No way around that. Mm-hmm. And so after that first year in practice, there's no way they don't know. If they've been in practice for any more than a year doing this injecting thing, they absolutely know. And they are profoundly evil, and we need to call them out and stop making excuses for them. Mm. I'm so furious.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so furious. The more I learn and the more I understand and the more I really, really look at this, I understand it as sort of a Nazi death machine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's well-oiled. It took them a long time to build it up to the point where it has the potential to wipe out this many people and actually collapse a nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's a combination of grift and covet and, you know, a lot of other evil things. All of them are evil. Yeah. But when you look at the Nazis, when they were at the trials for human rights violations, it was the same answer. I was only following orders. And that's basically what we're hearing in advance of the trials right now from the medical profession. Well, it was standard of care.
Hmm. That's crazy.
So that makes it okay morally?
Yeah. They're legal drug dealers is what they are. Legal drug dealers. They know, like you said, what they're doing.
They're murderers.
They're murderers, you're right.
I didn't get these calls from these homicide detectives for no reason.
Yeah.
They're in the business of finding out who is murdering people. And they chose a woman in one city that I talked, because they thought she would be more sensitive to the parents and the whole situation and get to the bottom of it or whatever. And so she was the lead, homicide detective for these infants in this particular city. And she just kept finding the exact same result. Oh, baby was just injected. And the real clincher here that just makes me hate some of these doctors, I'm sorry, but I just do, is they were the ones that would call the police and falsely accuse the parents of murdering their infant when the doctor himself, just previous to the child's death, had injected it. And so here's these homicide detectives. They go and investigate. No signs of child abuse. And in 100% of these SIDS cases, they're finding that the child was just vaccinated.
Same. It's saying, I'm looking up the scripture right now, Revelation 8:23, I believe it is. Anyway, the merchants of the world grow rich, and by thy sorceries all nations are deceived. Father warns us in the book of Revelation 18:23, excuse me, I'm in 8. It's Revelation 18:23, and it says, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries all nations were deceived. So Father's even telling us, sorcery breaks down to pharmakia, the pharmaceutical companies. And that's who's behind it all. They fund the schools. They write their textbooks. I mean, they control.
Their moniker, their logo is a couple of snakes.
Exactly. And if a doctor goes against them, and I know many that have, like Dr. Suzanne Humphreys that said she was the walking dead. They are the walking dead. Okay. Then they lose everything. Every one of our researchers have lost their license, their funding over the last 20 years, their positions. Dr. Vijendra Singh is no longer at Utah State University. You know, Dr. Wakefield, they're crucifying, literally. He was the first one that started listening to us parents and just writing a paper in the Lancet Medical Journal, just suggesting a possibility, not even saying that it causes autism, and he got crucified. You know, all of them. Dr. Molden, they took out. Put tape around his house. I actually had the honor of speaking with him. He was finding the neuro microvascular mini strokes in children from the vaccination and adults. They said he had a heart attack, put yellow tape around his house. My friend Mary told me, didn't let anybody do an autopsy. Okay. Oh. Dr. Martin Yeah, Dr. Martin, we interviewed last week, is back in my life, who's finding the monkey viruses and vaccinations. He could no longer, he tested my daughter's tissue when she was on life support and found the monkey viruses, the stealth adapted viruses. Right after that, they stopped him from being able to test and unless it was under court order. So their hands are tied. So when they go up against what they've been taught, they lose everything. And so we do have, and you know, I know, because they're contacting you for the wonderful job that you're doing. Their hands are tied. If it's medical suicide to go up against it, or even your life. I mean, they've been taken out.
There have been a lot of mysterious deaths.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The guy that committed suicide by 2 bullets to the back of his head
and threw himself in the river.
Seeing that. Yeah.
Stuff in the river.
Yeah, floating face down in the river. Yeah.
It's devastating what you're doing.
Yeah, so people are killed for a lot less than what I'm up to.
Yeah.
And the good news is, although there are an enormous amount of people that are vaccine aware that do understand, usually people that avoid vaccines, I've noticed their brains work a little better. And they actually can kind of see what I'm doing and go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that can work. You know, this could be an answer and let's support this, you know. But I'm also keenly aware that people are killed for much less than what I'm up to. And there are very dark forces that don't want me to do this. And, but you know what? The thing about it is, the Lord loves me and other people who love him a billion times more than Satan will ever hate us or him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when he's with you, who can be against you?
Yeah. So, I've got my armor.
Yep.
And I'm also, I have a surrender attitude about it that's, look, if something happens to me on this path,
yeah,
I certainly wouldn't like that unless I can at least get the baton over the finish line beforehand. Yep. But the fact is I've dealt with it psychologically, mentally, and every different way, spiritually, emotionally, I've dealt with it and I'm cool. I have this peace about it to where I'm not stepping forward in fear. I'm stepping forward in faith and courage and peace, actually.
Yeah, yes.
Now, when you know you're doing the right thing,
that's right.
Your life gets very peaceful and you sleep very deeply.
That's right.
That's what's working for me. When I first went into this, I was having horrific nightmares, horrific. Because I knew who I was picking a fight with. I have no doubts about that. Mm-hmm. And just the strangest things were happening. Like I had one dream where a hit team came in. It was a horrible nightmare. A hit team came in to slaughter me and my family. And there were two people involved. One of them wearing a fake military uniform. And that's how they gained entry to my home in this dream. And the next day I had a bunch of appointments at the Capitol with representatives, you know, worthless, but I thought I'd give it a try because it's close by. The first thing I saw when I came into the Capitol was the exact same face in the exact same fake military uniform where the stripes didn't match the commissions.
Mm.
It was the same guy from my dream the night before. It was just mind-blowing. What's going on here, you know, because you have a nightmare about a couple of people killing your family. You do not forget their faces.
Wow.
And what was weird is in my dream, the shooting started right when I noticed that the stripes didn't match the commissions. He noticed that I noticed, and that's when they just, okay, the jig is up, so we're going to start, just kill everybody and get out of here. And when I got to the Capitol and saw this very same man standing there, I looked at his stripes and his commissions, and he went like this. He looked down at what I was looking at, and then he looked back up at me like in a very exact same as what happened in my dream. I'll put it that way. Only we were in the Capitol and nobody's allowed to bring guns in there.
So,
Yeah, that was just like the first little weird hint that I knew at some point here I'm on the radar, and they obviously don't want me doing what I'm doing. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm gonna go do it anyway.
Right.
You know. I mean, I'm not planning it to nip at their heels. I'm hearing that from a lot of different branches of thought as to how to get a remedy. At least those few that are actually working on that. And all of their approaches seem similar to me in one way. Well, let's do this, and then we can build on that to do this. And, you know, and for one thing, I think we're almost out of time, so that is not appealing to me. The only approach that's appealing to me at all, that makes any sense to me at this juncture, is to sharpen a tool big enough and sharp enough and powerful enough to actually slit this beast's throat.
That's right. Hallelujah.
I honestly believe that anything less than that is not going to work. It's not going to help us. Mm. You know, because every single attempt I see to nip at the heels, it takes 10 times as much resource and energy as I'm probably going to expend on this in the end.
Yep.
Sometimes the better thing is to run up to the giant and go straight for its jugular and just swing. Take your best shot.
David and Goliath, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm not saying I'm not going to go into court just so I can protect one community or one or two litigants or one state. Mm. I'm actually going to demand that we get a declaratory relief order in the end, ultimate relief, that a jury will rule on whether or not we're entitled to this relief, demanding that we be called into a state of a national emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And that because of that national emergency, all of the vaccine programs have to be stopped immediately, or this nation will be crushed. I believe that with the documentation and the evidence that I'm putting together and compiling, and the way that this is going to be fought, that there is no way a jury will rule otherwise once they see the situation our nation is in. There's not going to be a single member of that jury that's going to go, oh, you know, I still think we need vaccines. They're going to go, you know what? I'm going to take my chances with typhus and even the bubonic plague. I'd rather have Ebola than get an injection, which is basically, once you see the truth, once you see the real numbers, you actually would prefer to risk Ebola.
That's right. And we have the solutions for that also. We have the solutions for that too, our Creator's way. Our Gen 10:23 kills off Ebola and anthrax. So Father's already brought us, and if it's His will for them to be stopped, they will be stopped.
Huh? Yeah, there's a few things actually that I know of that wipe those things out. And, you know, these poor people in Africa that don't have access. Oh, really interesting study on that point. Not study, but a report that came out, and it was confirmed. It was confirmed that something as simple as vitamin C was not only preventing people from getting Ebola, but also curing it very quickly. Actually,
the immune system.
Just vitamin C. Okay,
exactly.
Old school.
Your source.
Right.
That's right.
And so what happened is when this information came out, like, look, there's been some cures just with vitamin C.
Absolutely. Vera Schreibner, Dr. Schreibner, she actually told me when my daughter had the bacterial meningitis back in 1999, all I had to give her was an IV vitamin C and it would have reversed it.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Everything that's of our Creator.
Yeah. The doctors and pharma are never, if you're dying of an infection and you're in the hospital, they're going to do everything they can to prevent your friends and family from getting any vitamin C into you.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
nutrition.
Just how it works. Yeah.
Or hydration.
Yeah. So on that point, these volunteers, when they found out about this, that Ebola was actually being cured with vitamin C, a bunch of volunteers pulled their resources and put together these huge care packages and made the mistake of trying to get them into the Ebola breakout areas through the UN, who promptly disposed of all of them.
Yep.
Yeah, because the last thing the UN wants is for people to find out that something as cheap and available as vitamin C can cure Ebola. They're working on a vaccine for it.
Oh, they do have already have it. I've already heard from the guy. I have his name and everything. I have his name and everything on a message I saved on my Vic phone. He called and said, I am the inventor of the latest Ebola vaccine, as well as some other vaccines. And he was making a comment about our cards. These cards are ridiculous. You should be embarrassed, he said. And he even proceeded to say, can I have someone that has a scientific degree, much like myself, a PD, a PhD or an MD, call me?
Oh, and after you watched your own child die.
Exactly.
After you watched murder your child, he's going to change your mind.
And waste my time calling him back.
And that you just imagined all that?
I know. Yeah. Didn't even call him back. Didn't even waste my breath. Didn't even waste my time calling him back. I even had a friend who was a retired pediatrician that told me. I called him right. We actually spoke right after this guy left a message on our answering machine. And I said, you have to do this. You're the only person he wants to hear from. And he said, he even told me he wouldn't waste his time. He said, there's no getting through. Like Dr. Suzanne says in her book, Rising from the Dead, they are the walking dead. You can't get through to them on anything. It's almost like there's this propaganda, like this automatic, you know, voice in the medical school saying vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines are safe and effective. Because getting through that is just impossible. They won't even consider the possibilities. It's the best thing since sliced bread. It's the stupid cow.
It's not impossible, and let's not tell ourselves that. Now, it might be impossible for someone who's profiting from vaccines or pharma.
Right, well, they all are. Okay. They all are. Right.
But the majority of the recipients of this death machine are actually not that hard. The branch of the public, at least in America, that I have found that is unaware of vaccines, but is the most open to finding out what the truth is, are MAGA. You know, the Make America Great crew, the Trump supporters, that's what I've been finding out. I did a little experiment on YouTube where I was following the leading anti-vax groups to kind of be able to get their intel and be able to retweet it. But I was also getting a bunch of followers over in the MAGA crew. They're just so generous about following back, and they're, you know, they're all anything to support Trump. And so I started meshing the two together by getting this rather big following of MAGA and then injecting like this vaccine truth. And I would frame it from the perspective that MAGA it'll open their eyes. Like, for instance, George Soros is largely responsible for pushing the vaccine mandates down in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when patriots hear that, they know who George Soros is. An old, white, rich, billionaire Nazi, a real Nazi, who funds Antifa, who calls Trump supporters Nazis. It's just bizarre. So, but patriots, real patriots with this whole MAGA thing, they're also much more willing, even if they don't agree, they're willing to kind of go, well, why do you think that? Where can I see the evidence? They'll ask to see the data.
Right.
They don't just immediately start calling you a nut job just because you are questioning how safe vaccines are. A really great Twitter thing I saw on there. I think this one was from one of Del Bigtree's videos. So, you know, hats off to Del for this. He found some big pharma conference where they're actually pushing the idea that anti-vaxxers are racists. Yeah, of course. We're not at all concerned about the health implications. We just hate dark people, and that's why we don't vaccinate. Hilarious. I mean, talk about desperate, though. They're pushing a narrative like that. It really makes it clear.
They're grabbing on whatever they can right now because so many people are waking up. So many people are waking up, both doctors also. I'm in contact with many of them that are coming outside, like Dr. Suzanne. Like I said, last week we interviewed Dr. John Martin, who's amazing. We're going to go down and see him after we leave you in the next couple of weeks. We're going to come spend some time with you as well as Dr. Martin and in our Wellness on Wheels. So we're looking very forward to squeezing you. And maybe we'll do a live radio show or something. But anyway, we've got to close now. Any final remarks, sweetheart, before we close?
Thecontrolgroup.org is where you go if you want to participate in the study and fill out the survey. any help you can give us is greatly appreciated. We are going to need resources when it comes time to start flying witnesses in. We do have a tremendous lineup of people that want to come and testify, really powerful people that have not been scandalized yet. Renowned toxicologists, you know, like I said, homicide detectives, a lot of other branches, but they're not all located here, and not all of them can afford the travel expenses. Please go to thecontrolgroup.org and find out more about what we're doing. Also, feel free to write me from there. I do answer all emails. So if you have any questions, please write.
Excellent. And we'll be together soon, so we'll come up with bigger and better plans as well. You're listening to Vic Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website on the belly of a little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, please call the voicemail line 862-800-6805. Leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth. And y'all bless.